It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than swiping right to the enemy. You could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. Also, you can watch us on the Davin's Den page on Facebook Live. I don't think we're going to have much manning of the chat this evening because we don't have Pip. Pip usually does that, and Joe has it on his page. So if you're friends with Joe on Joe's Facebook page, he might chat with you. But I can't really chat and do the show. But anyway, audio is better on davincomedy.com. You can still watch us on the Davin's Den page on Facebook. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Yes. Hello.
And playing the part of Pip Helix, Sensei Russ Ferdica. Hello, yes. Sensei.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me back.
Man, we haven't seen you in a long time. It's good to have you back.
Yes. Gas prices were $1.75 a gallon.
Were they?
Yes, they were. Well, nobody was coughing.
Well, people were coughing.
Yes. The Javits Center wasn't a hospital.
Well, it's not a hospital now.
Trump is president.
So some things have improved.
Really, Davin?
Yes, really.
Really?
As far as that, yes.
Okay.
On the show, Texas wants to investigate parents of children who get a sex change. In School of Fools, Florida says the word gay is verboten. And in Virginia, a teacher gets fired when he says in class he supports Putin's logic for the invasion. And Scam Busters will tell you about some scams that are related to the Ukraine-Russian war. And Russian soldiers want to get a little nookie-nookie, a little sookie-sookie before they invade Ukraine. And they want to do that with Ukrainian women. We'll tell you about that story. And then we'll play something we haven't played in a long time, some Savage Medicine, much to get to. I know Joe has a used stink. We'll get to that. I have a used stink. I might have another used stink.
Nice.
But so, Russ, you were like a history major in college?
Yes, I was.
All right. So I'm looking at this Ukrainian-Russian war.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get too much into it tonight.
Oh, it's a Russian war. The Ukrainians just wanted to be left alone.
Right. Yeah. And we keep on saying, you know, well, we can't have a conflict with Russia. I get. Because nuclear weapons are in play. But yeah, they don't. I don't think they want to get exterminated either.
No, it's mutually assured destruction. That's why we should be smacking this bozo around.
But anyway. So I kind of look at this a little bit like World War II, when we tried to appease Hitler and not really get involved with this. When you had Neville Chamberlain, what did they give it? Was it Czechoslovakia they gave up? We gave them Czechoslovakia.
Austria. Well, we let them walk in Austria.
Okay.
Then Czechoslovakia, and I actually have a newspaper article.
Okay.
From 2 months to the day. It's in my closet. It's from the Daily News. 2 months to the day before Hitler invaded Poland. It says, Hitler amasses 1.5 million man army. What do you think you're going to do with that?
Well, which is kind of what we said.
And we appeased them. We gave, like I said, we gave Russia Crimea. Let them take that.
We gave them Georgia.
We gave them Georgia. We let them annex some of the eastern provinces.
I know you're not a fan.
No.
But if you think of Biden, but if you think about it, he's probably handled Russia better than George Herbert Walker Bush.
No.
As far as all the presidents.
No.
Because W said I looked into his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And let him take Georgia. Obama let him take Crimea.
Okay.
Trump kissed his ass and was like, well,
Trump didn't kiss his ass.
Was willing to sack. Yes. So you don't.
He got along just because he got along with a nut.
No, he tried. No, no. Congress approved defensive weapons for Ukraine. Congress approved these weapons. And Trump's like, yeah, I'll give them to you after you find some dirt on Biden. So
I don't think that happened.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a phone call that says
I think Trump actually the United Nations, as well as the NATO countries, needed Ukraine to make some improvements before those weapons were had. The big beef,
that's not what Trump was asking for.
The big beef was Russia had with was Poland.
Well, Poland's a NATO country.
With defensive weapons, with a missile system in Poland. They had a beef with that. And did not want Sweden and Finland admitted into NATO.
And they don't want Ukraine into NATO, which I get, which is right on their border.
Yes. Now, Ukraine held up their own NATO certification.
Well, because they used to have Russian loyalists as president. The past few years, Ukraine is charted to the West.
Correct. Especially the western part of the country.
Right. So if you're NATO, you're like, well, how long is this going to last?
Exactly.
They also understand that now NATO is right on Russia's border, and that's going to cause a problem. Correct. So if Russia and NATO didn't want to get in a fight. So if Russia just would have been cool,
none of this would be happening.
Ukraine would never be a part of NATO.
But if you would have told me, even during the Trump administration, after, again, we appeased... During Obama, we appeased Crimea.
Yes, we did.
We let them have. But at then, my attitude was like, all right, they're taking Crimea. They need a naval base. There's oil there. Okay, the guy's being a son of a bitch, and that's just Putin. Let's see how we can handle this. I thought at the time that no matter what we did in Ukraine, eventually Putin would wind up on their dollar bill shirtless riding a unicorn. So, really, that's how I thought. If you would have asked me back in 2008, that would have been my response to you. Now what I'm seeing is, again, as a student of history, these are war crimes.
Yes, he's committing war crimes.
Yes, he is deliberately targeting. Yes. First of all, he's causing a humanitarian crisis in Europe that
he's deliberately
been seen.
Targeting civilians.
Correct.
These are war crimes. Yes. And he did it in Syria and Aleppo.
Correct. But you know what? That's Syria and Aleppo.
People are people.
People expect, it's all part of the, people are numb when stuff like that happens in areas like
people
that.
People are numb. You know why people are numb?
Ukraine,
I'm going to break it down for you right
now. Although, pretty a third world country.
No, Ukraine is white.
It's still.
That affects the West.
It doesn't mean anything.
It does, because if you look at all the genocides that have taken place in Africa, and we don't do
Scarsdale's
anything.
Scarsdale's white.
What?
That place is a zoo. Those people are nuts.
No, what I'm saying is the reason the West is
Have you ever been to the Hamptons in the summer?
No, God,
yikes.
No, I know.
Oh, my God.
What I'm saying...
Madness in all directions.
What I'm saying is the reason why the West is up in arms about this is because Ukrainians look like us. Africa, there's been so many genocides among African nations.
Yes.
Russia bombed the crap out of Syrians. And these European nations would not take these Syrian refugees. They turn them away, say they don't have room.
It's now all part of the plan.
Well, it's racist.
It's accepted. These are third world countries, but Ukraine's quasi third world.
That looks lovely. Well, it did. It doesn't.
Wanted to join NATO. Wanted to get on the euro. Okay, they wanted to be an EU country, part of the EU. You know,
yeah.
There was a lot of positive direction there, especially in the western part of the country. Okay, where people speak Ukrainian. And there is a difference instead of Russian. What's the difference? New York versus West Virginia. Kind of the same language, but not really. So.
Yeah, but we're not letting them annex New York or West Virginia.
So what's happening now is we're in a point right now where I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. We can't harp on the history of this. Because you know what? There's too much history there. Putin argued that Ukraine was a Bolshevik republic. All right, it's also been the breadbasket for Russia for centuries.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't have an empire that falls apart.
I get it.
Communism doesn't work. Why do I have to tell a Republican this?
Listen, we can go back, actually, from the time of the Norse Vikings who took Kiev and were later Christianized. This is beyond Trump. This is beyond Biden. This is beyond Obama. This is beyond Bush Sr. This is beyond Reagan. Who collapsed the whole friggin' thing. He bankrupted the Soviet Union. Okay? This is even beyond him. This is hundreds of years of history where there are Russian-speaking people in the eastern part of Ukraine. You got that. A big part of the Soviet Empire, but even before the Soviets took over, even before the communists took over Russia. This goes back hundreds of years. So... History is there for a lesson. Give us a little bit of a guidebook. But right here and now, genocide's being committed in Eastern Europe again. And the last time that happened, the whole friggin' world caught on fire.
And the key thing here is there's so many dynamics that come into play. I mean,
and we'll solve them. Thank God we're here.
The history to it's insightful, but it's not going to solve anything.
Comics and an ex karate guy. Two comics and an ex karate guy. Why have we not been tapped earlier?
You're kidding me? A stand up comic is a president there.
He's doing a damn good job.
I know. I mean, if you can handle a late show.
No. Shut up. No. Hold on. Keep the volume down on that computer.
Got it.
Okay. All the way down. All right. Zero.
All the way down.
Hold on. All right. Go on again, Joe.
Oh, if you can handle a late show, you can handle a 40-mile line of tanks.
That's a great line. It's a shame only comics would appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. I actually posted that last week. Yeah, only comics got it. But, the whole thing with Putin, he's trying to... He's claiming he's liberating the Ukraine, and
that's the Kool-Aid
Nazi element there. Obviously, he was, as a former KGB agent, when he watched Russia fall, he felt that, you know, they lost part of that empire, and he wants to try to get that empire back. Trying to join NATO is a key thing that he does not want to happen. And there are acts of genocide going on. The whole no-fly zone. Is if we get in a no-fly zone, the propensity to get in an air fight with a Russian jet is there, and now World War III starts.
I would argue
define World War III.
I would argue we're already there. This is how the beginning of World War II looked.
I don't think the Russian general is going to allow Putin to launch any nukes.
The Russian.
I really don't. And I would like to think somewhere in the CIA, there's somebody that knows a Russian colonel or a Specknaz officer. And let's call us, let's call a cat a cat here. 2 9-millimeters to the chest and one in the head can end this in 3 seconds.
He reached out and asked if that, so there's a bounty out there.
Promise somebody a bag of money to whack this bum.
You can't get near him, but listen.
You can get near anybody.
Putin knows.
They killed Kennedy. They can kill his bum.
Putin has had his way with the West, no matter who was in charge, for many, many years. He's had his way with the West.
Yeah, he's a nuclear power.
Right, but here's the thing.
When you're a nuclear power in the UN, you're a made man.
You know what he's learned?
That's the message to the North Koreans, by the way, is never give up your nukes, because Ukraine had the third largest stockpile of nukes in the world.
Yep.
And if they had their nukes, this wouldn't be happening. So now, broader implications. Again, we're back to World War II.
Right. Now,
Hold on. Let me finish my thought. Anyway, Russia's military...
Is a joke.
Yes. How long do you think Russia's military could stand up to NATO? It can't.
3 days.
If that.
3 days.
So I don't know. Just
the jets we have in Germany. We have control of the sky by lunchtime tomorrow. If we took off right now. This guy's all talking a badge. He's a bum.
Hold on, Joe. I'll let you speak. Let me just say this. I'll tell you when I disagree. At first, I'm like, well, we can't implement the no-fly zone. I will say this point, and then, Joe, you can say what you want to say. Once they attacked a nuclear facility, and they were firing on a nuclear facility, it became a... They raised the stakes.
Correct.
It's like, okay, we need to implement the no-fly zone because this is now you have escalated
Correct.
It, and this is before they start going
bad to stupid.
Exactly, and at that point, I said, and I put it on Facebook. I go, all right, I think NATO has to get in there. Yeah. Okay, Joe, what do you want to say?
Well, it kind of prefaces what you said. Basically, you're worried about World War, III. Well, there's going to be nukes. Well, what the problem is that he attacked Chernobyl. He also attacked, which we're going to take over Chernobyl. Good. We'll only platoon that glow in dark. But
it's hard to sneak up on the enemy at night when you're glowing.
We have to start realizing as a people, as a planet, as a species, what kind of world we're going to leave for Keith Richards when this whole thing blows up.
Oh, yeah, it's just going to be him.
He's alone. He's alone.
And Steve Bicks, Joe. And Steve Bicks.
But when you said, well, we're worried about nuclear war, but now he's attacking these nuclear plants.
Yes.
God forbid something is off or a shot is off. That could be a nuclear catastrophe. So in mind, you have to watch that and go, okay, this might be the basis, if he continues this, to be the thing to authorize a no-fly zone. Well, we could get into war. Well, if he blows up a plant and it goes the wrong way, it could be catastrophic.
Well, the joke that
so it's also it's you know the people. I mean, the Russian people, I guess, don't have an idea what's going on.
But no, they don't.
I think if he knew, you know, he cut off all media, Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. But if they knew what was going on, because basically they're enjoying their life is like ours. You know, they're going to work, they're going, you know, this, that, and the other thing. They just got over COVID, you know, and now they're being sold this bill of goods. And I think if he knew what was going on, it would almost be basically when the wall fell, when the will of the people wanting, you know, getting done, you know, with an autocratic system had enough. It might be when they're looking at Putin and going, we don't want this. You know, what's the point of this?
I think when this all ends, and I don't know, it could be this year, it could be next year, it could be 3 years, it could be 5 years.
No.
Putin's going to end like Mussolini.
With his dead body getting kicked down the friggin' street.
That is how it, because what Russia was building towards before Putin.
You know, women and children with mortar shells.
You had this whole influx of money from the West. All this money going into Russia, whether it be Coca-Cola, McDonald's, natural gas, oil, all this money, which would have enriched everybody if they would have continued the way Gorbachev was going and Yeltsin was going. If they would have continued that path, everybody would have a better life. And they can look at Ukraine and see what Ukraine had,
yes.
And they could have had that. And they're going to eventually open their eyes and go, look what this guy has cost us. And when they start seeing their sons, their fathers, their uncles, their neighbors, their friends coming home in body bags,
yes,
they're going to realize that they've been lied to. So Putin is making a very dangerous play. Eventually, it's going to collapse because it always collapses.
And the Joe's point.
Hold on, let Joe go on.
And if you were asking the Russian people, if you went out to the Russian people and go, Do you want to resort back to the Cold War narrative? I can guarantee that they would say no. They fought for that. The wall came down, and they've gotten used to Western culture, getting used to I can't even talk to them.
God damn it, we let the Scorpions made a song about them.
Yeah.
The Scorpions!
The winds of change, baby.
You gotta write a song. You know, they're used to a situation where it's, you know, almost a capitalistic society. But
Joe, that's what scared Putin, and why another reason why we're here. Ukraine was coming dangerously close to becoming a Euro nation, which was step one to becoming a NATO nation.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what this is about. Money. Follow the money. Follow the money, brother. But you know what? To your point, listen, we're already in this war whether we want it or not.
Agreed.
Because no matter how Putin's made it clear, no matter how much we appease him, eventually he's going to do something stupid with the Baltics or with Poland, and we're going to have to fight the son of a bitch anyway.
Article 5 of NATO.
Baltics or Poland, then we have to do something.
We have no choice, but I think this son of a bitch overplayed his hand. You know, deliberately targeting civilians. I mean, he counted on us to be weak.
I think he didn't see the resolve of the Ukrainian people.
Correct.
And their fight.
He was sold a bill of sale by a bunch of people who still serve under him, who served in the Soviet Union, who thought they would be greeted, and we'll discuss that later in the show.
Really?
With AnastasiaDate.com or whatever David's got going on coming up. But yeah, I mean, you got these kids, these from Russia, they give them Kalashnikovs, they're all liquored up, and a lot of people don't know this. We, NATO, have been working with Ukraine since Crimea was annexed, knowing that Ukraine gave up their nukes and they were still invaded anyway. And you know what we trained them to do? Don't attack the tanks. Let the tanks roll in. Attack the fuel supply, the food supply, and the medical supply.
Yeah.
And now you got problems.
You know what's sad about Russia? They didn't learn from their mistakes in Afghanistan and our mistakes in Afghanistan and our mistakes in Iraq. They learned nothing. You can't occupy a country that does not want to be occupied.
We learned it in Vietnam.
We learned it in Vietnam. You get bogged down,
it ain't happening.
You lose. He's out of his mind. Putin is out of his mind. I think we got to raise our game a little bit.
I think
it's time for the no-fly zone.
I think it's time for the no-fly zone, one, because we're at war with this guy.
Putin considers it at war. He said sanctions are war. He said sending in these Stinger missiles are war.
And you got it, Taiwan, very similar to Ukraine.
China's looking at this.
They're watching. Taiwan's another people.
That's correct. I've been saying this since this whole thing started, double-edged sword, because China is watching this.
Very closely.
If they see us be weak with Ukraine, they're going to say, well, Taiwan is going to be a cakewalk.
Correct. You know? Yeah, it's an island. Yeah. But, like, Taiwan, here's the good news. And it's kind of messed up, speaking from a historical perspective, that we don't want to fight wars we could frickin' win. Afghanistan, doomed from day one, unless we wanted to be like Russia and commit genocide.
Yeah, but we had no choice. We didn't pick that war.
Okay, I know, exactly. But to win in Afghanistan, you got to kill everybody and the three countries surrounding.
Right, hold on, hold on. But Putin.
That's how you
Putin,
win in Afghanistan.
Hold on. Putin, wait, hold on. Let me. Okay. I got to draw a differentiator. Putin picked this war.
Correct.
We didn't pick Afghanistan.
No, it came to us, but I'm saying. We picked
Vietnam.
Iraq. We picked Vietnam. We picked Iraq for the second time.
Yes.
Where you would have to kill to be successful in Iraq. We would have had to wipe out about 70% of the population.
You could say we were sort of successful.
And we would have had to whack Iran, too.
We were sort of successful in Iraq.
Still, this is a war where we're dealing with a whole country as a whole, minus a couple break-off republics in the east, that doesn't want to be conquered.
No.
They will fight with us. Taiwan does not want to be conquered. They will fight with us even more. Okay? You have two nationalist societies being bullied by two dictators, one east, one west, okay? And we're sitting here pussyfooting around these guys because they have nukes. They're not going to launch.
Well, we hope. I mean,
they're not
going to
launch.
He is nuts. He did attack a nuclear plant.
Yes, he did.
So,
but that's how you cause chaos and destruction. Yeah,
that's how you could end the world too.
It's not helpful.
A sane person doesn't attack nuclear plants. But we've never seen that.
And that's why I wish we could just give somebody. We got to know somebody. CIA.
We don't. We can't get near him.
Give some old Russian colonel a bag of
they
money.
They can't get near
promise
him.
Promise him a house and give him Nancy Pelosi's house. Yeah, really. Just give him a bottle of Stoli and Nancy Pelosi's house after he whacks this son of a bitch.
Get near him. Have you seen how big that table is? You're going to need a sharpshooter.
Yeah, that's a lot of flowers. Yeah. If you have allergies in that room, you're dead.
Who's cleaning up the crumbs?
You're dead.
You have to think out of his inner circle, there has to be a contingent there saying, this guy is going to get us all killed. And we got to figure out a way to take
Well, that's what we're banking on. Hitler dealt with that, too. Operation Valkyrie. You know how many hit attempts there were on Hitler? His own people, some of his highest commanders said, hey, this is fun right now, but this ends with all of us dying.
Yeah.
Especially after Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. All those von Hagenschlotzes, who are highly educated men, knew they were dead because now we were in the war.
Yeah.
They knew.
Tom Cruise actually did a very lousy accent in that movie, too.
Yeah, well, he didn't even try.
I want to bring up something real quick.
Joe, it was the most pathetic accent attempt since that was worse than Mike Myers doing Dr. Evil, trying to be a Dutch / evil man. So he didn't even try.
I want to bring up something about accents that I want to, then I'm going to get to Joe's You Stink, because I had this conversation today with
Yes, we have a You Stink.
Yeah, well, I had this conversation today with my daughter and her friend in the car, because they had a presentation today.
Okay.
And nobody said anything to them, but the girls felt that it was okay to do like a British accent or an Italian accent, perhaps, but not like an
I'm offended.
Not like an Indian accent. They're like, well,
so
who would
you
be
pick on me, but not an Indian?
That guy. I said, well, wait a second.
That's why The Simpsons got canceled.
Well, that was an Indian accent. Nobody's can. They
wanted to cancel Simpsons.
Nobody's canceled
after 30 years because there was an Indian guy. He owned the bar called a bodega. I'm from the Bronx. The Indian guy owned the bodega.
The coffee in a roll. The bar's still outside.
I think you should be able to do everybody's accent.
Everybody's getting picked on, it's not offensive or racist.
Right.
Everybody's getting picked
on.
I think
once you start saying, well, if you do an Indian accent, you can't do an Indian accent, but you can do a British accent. And they said, well, Britain was never conquered by anybody. And that was a valid point.
No, they weren't. They were.
Well, like,
the Romans.
Oh, that's right.
So if an Italian, if I did a British accent, a Brit could be offended. My ancestors conquered England.
And then America conquered Italy. Well, Mussolini.
Here's the whole thing with everybody getting an offense, especially with their nationality. When I was growing up, and we still do it too because we had the old timers, we can goof on with you, like the guy that runs a warehouse is Polish. We call him the Polak. And then we got the guy outside, the Puerto Rican guy that's running the shipping and receiving. We goof on him. And it's all good because basically what it was, in our generation, we were growing up, we were proud of our nationality.
Correct.
We were very proud of our nationality. So if somebody from another nationality would goof on us, we would laugh along and goof back because there was a pride in nationality. And some people just don't want us to think that way anymore, where you're being mean and hurt. No, we're all goofing on each other. We're all proud of our nationalities. We're all here in one country, and we're all goofing each other. We all brought something to the table. We knew that growing up. And that seems to be gone where if you say something,
You know what the big difference is, too, Joe? We weren't a society of victims.
Yeah.
That's what changed, my man. Everybody has used their identity politics. I don't want to sound like Sean Hannity here, but he is correct. I'm sure it's identity politics. It's division based on identity, race, sex, culture, what have you. And it uses a divisive tool where you victimize yourself for being different. But you know what the irony is that it's working in this country, and we live in a place where everybody's here. I grew up in the Bronx. I had 20 nationalities and 7 different religions, and I was 6th grade algebra.
Yeah.
We were all, and you knew you put, you all, everybody got teased. It didn't mean anything.
Because you know what? There you all were.
Exactly. In one spot. And it worked. You couldn't date anybody's sister.
We're trying to get ahead. You're all, you're different but the same, and you goof back at each other because you want to know something. At home, you were taught to be proud of your nationality.
Correct.
And you would go, in the traits, and you think Italians would goof on the Irish. I used to get teased by all the Jewish and Irish kids on a Sunday afternoon when I had to go home. You're eating dinner at 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
That's stupid. right. That's an Italian tradition. But one that I don't know if is around anymore, because that generation's gone. But still, I got teased being Italian.
My family does it, and I get my chops busted in my office to this day. Because there's 4 weeks every year I cannot eat meat on Friday.
Yeah.
So every time I go to lunch, it's like, was it tuna fish again, Russ? Oh, it's like, all right, shut up, dick.
I used to, one job, there was a guy, and I love this guy, really good guy, and he would goof on me, he goes, what's your nationality, son? And I go, I'm half Italian, I'm half Scottish. Oh, you're a cheapskate with a bad temper. I put it in my act. Because I am.
That's fantastic. But you know what? But again, we weren't victims. And you know what? We had respect for each other. Our parents taught us respect.
You respected. It was teasing. It was teasing. It wasn't denigrating. Teasing. Because we all had respect for our background and stuff like that. And we all knew that we brought something, our nationalities brought something to the table, and we're all there to get ahead and, friends and get ahead together. And that's the way it was.
Bill Murray said it best in the movie Stripes. We're here because our ancestors got kicked out of every other decent country to live in.
Yeah.
And we all knew it, and we weren't victimized by it.
Yeah. All right, Joe, let's get to your You Stink. Let me play the bumper music.
Yeah, let's see what's going on.
You Stink.
This You Stink is 2 weeks in the making, so it's nice and ripe.
Joe's been stewing.
Joe's been stewing in his own stink.
Well, there's a bunch of stuff. So basically what it is, I do workshops during the week. They're mics, open mics, workshops, whatever you want to call them, and I'm doing them. And I'm doing one out in St. James 2 weeks ago. I invited my friend Andrea, who's one of the crew. She's actually works for Gas Digital Media and part of the Compound crew, and she's actually starting to do stand-up. So I said, come on out. We'll hang out and stuff like that. So she came out, and we're doing the show, and there was a girl running it that was a woke, kind of, I believe she was a lesbian. I could care less. That's not the point.
A woke lesbian, har!
Was her face in another woman's crotch?
That's fantastic.
No, you could tell.
Was she awake while she was down there?
Yeah, short crop hair, the whole thing.
So did Janet from Three's Company. What does that mean? And a lot of older women have short cropped hair, too, because they don't want to deal with it anymore.
Look, she was a lesbian.
Was she wearing flannel?
A militant lesbian.
A militant, wow.
Left-wing lesbian.
Boots, okay. Cami pants?
Yeah.
Safety pins on her belt?
So I get up there, and I'm going over material. Now, and Russ, just to give you an insight, at these things, I do all new material. I'm throwing in my regular stuff. It's just a waste of my night to watch TV. So I'm going stuff. So while I'm up there, she starts going, I'm going to tell you why you're stupid. And this is the MC. She's emceeing it, so it's not somebody sitting there. I'm going to tell you why you're stupid. And I go, beg your pardon. I'm going to tell you why you're stupid. And I'm like, you can do it now. No, finish your act. I don't know. I'm done.
By the way, let me interrupt here. I like a good comedy. I like a good stand up performance. Like it's a State of the Union address. Like there'll be a rebuttal afterwards. We don't get.
And here's a lesbian time. Come back after Mr. Curry's speech.
There's not enough rebuttal sets in comedy. That should be something that's offered. Like somebody goes on, and then we have time for comics with opposite jokes
from the other side of the stage tonight. We have speaking. The woman in the camouflage pants and cropped hair.
But if they interrupt you,
oh,
while you're up there,
well, that is the state of the union.
That's heckling.
Yeah. That is State of the Union.
Honestly,
then
with all the clapping and the carrying on.
Interrupt you. So at that point, it's not like I'm sitting waiting to go up and she's up there doing her set and I'm yelling stuff out. I'm an asshole then. Keep your mouth shut. You'll get your chance at the mic. So basically, I said, I go. Nope, you're up. And I'm used to this show, doing this show for over a decade, where if you say something, you got to back her up. So I said, give me three bullet points why I'm stupid. No. Hold on,
Joe. Let me stop you right here. Do these women not have my phone number?
Nah.
Three. I'll give you 30.
Finally, a use for my talents, and nobody is calling. How is this happening?
No, I love it.
But at least if you want to know something, if you did that and you did gave me the three bullet points, thank you. We're going back and forth.
Yeah, well, I'm never going to interrupt your joke. I don't agree. Why? I'm going to let you do your jokes. You get laughs,
was.
You don't get laughs. I don't.
But it was.
Yeah.
So I go, yeah, go up. And then she sits down, like, on a little couch. I go, so what are you going to, you're going to pouch? You're going to sit there and pouch? You don't have to be. Why I'm stupid, you know? And she goes, you've got a small penis. And I go, that has nothing to do with this.
You're absolutely right.
I said, when was the last time you've seen a penis?
That's another conversation for another
time. Yeah, but the size of Joe's penis has nothing to do with stupidity. First, you have to go with heritage. Then you have to go with who he hangs out with. Then you have to talk about his habits.
There's a pecking order.
Then you talk about like the media he consumes. There's so many ways to go. The fact that Joe has a small penis, as he rightfully pointed out, is irrelevant.
It's like the kid in Christmas Story who went right for the triple dog dare.
Hold on, Joe. We stepped on you. What were you saying?
Oh, I'm sorry. I go, and that's the thing, what you said. I'm so used to doing our show, I'm spoiled. I'll get all that. And I'm like, furthermore, I welcome that. I was inviting that. Because if you're claiming you're a comic and you feel passionately about something, you should be able to sink your fangs back into me and give me some reasons.
Hold on, let me stop you right there. Anybody who claims they're a comic would not watch another comic set, interrupt them, and feel the need to rebut them. At most, you roll your eyes and hope that they fail miserably. You get on with your shit. You don't worry about what everybody else is doing. She was completely, well, this is open mic. I was going to say I'm professional, but that goes without saying. But you gave her, to call her a comic, you're giving her way too much credit. Go on.
Right. And sounds then, like another and angry person.
She was slurring her words. I guess she had a couple of her in her or whatever. And she was slurring her words and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, brother. So then, I get done. A couple other people go up. You know, and it's fine. I didn't say anything more and stuff like that. And then she's like, where's the comic? Where's that comic? Well, I go, I'm over here, Mrs. Magoo. I go,
Mrs. Magoo, nice.
So I think I got back up there. So she goes, well, you go up. And that was after. But before, she goes, well, continue doing your set. So I started to do some more of my act. And then I called her out. I go, you know, you're a typical woke liberal comic where only your opinion matters. And then anybody else's opinion you don't want to hear about. And then she got mad. She tried to take the mic from me. You know, and
whoa,
I'm like,
hello.
I'm done. So I get home that night, and I got home. It was like 12 o'clock at night, you know, and I was tired. It was a long day. I went through this. Also, on the way to the gig, one of my childhood friends passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, buddy.
My condolences.
You know, thanks. But, so it was a long. However, I had enough energy to sit, get back to the house, and then write a whole dissertation of what happened and put it on the Long Island comedy scene page.
Now, before you continue, Joe, before you continue, I want to know, did you ever address the fact that you do have a small penis? Was that in the dissertation?
Yes, it was.
Oh, very good. Good boy. Good boy. Very thorough.
Fantastic. Yes, it was.
That is fantastic.
So, I posted it, and a couple of the guys, you know, from the workshop crew said, oh, and one guy was there, and he goes, before the show started, while she was starting the show, she said this is a free speech zone where anybody that has anything to say with free speech is welcome here.
As long as they agree with her?
Handle free speech. That's a problem. Yeah. Yeah. So a buddy of mine that was at that show saw what I posted. He goes, I can't believe she did that. That was crazy. So what happened was when I posted it, the next day there was a guy that booked shows on the island, and I posted his face on the Long Island thing, and he wrote me and he goes, look, could you please take that down? It's got my, you know, my banner on there and stuff like that. And I said, okay. I go, you know what? I didn't see your banner. Even though you booked that room, you put her in, that's not your problem, and I don't have a beef with you. I'll pull that down. I didn't pull it from my Facebook page. I paid it from the Long Island page. So he explained to me that she had shoulder surgery and her arm hurt. I think she might have been like on some painkillers or something like that. Mm. And he also explained what happened.
And drinking, because that's just a great friggin' idea.
Yeah, so she also reached out to me and said, you know, I'm sorry, blah, 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 blah. Okay. What can I do to make it better?
Make my penis big.
I'm sorry?
Make my penis big.
Make my penis big. So what I told her is, I go, look, everything is fine. I go, how you can make it up to me is, if there is something that you feel that pisses you off or whatever, I go, you get on that mic after me and you sink your fangs into me. And I will sit there and I will laugh. And then after the show, we'll discuss policy and blah, 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 blah. But you don't interrupt. Perfect example. Yeah. And I even worked with him, Harry Friedman. Harry Friedman, good comic, liberal mind. And we'll work together. And I'll go up and I will say, you know, my stuff, which is on a right wing slant, he will go up and then he'll call me out on some stuff, which is fantastic. It's great. And then we'll sit at the bar and we'll discuss policy.
Wait a minute. He's calling you out in the middle of his set?
Well, no, he'll make a couple of funny things. But you know what, Davin? Even if he does goof on me and what I'm saying during my set, that's the essence of comedy. That's the essence of free speech. Because it's your turn at the mic.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Take the mic. But here's where
I disagree. I mean, I follow you all the time, and you say stuff I don't agree with. I'm not fucking worried about you. I got my own shit to do. I'm worried about me. The audience doesn't care.
If it's something you feel on policy that you feel that I'm off on, that you can tease me on.
Not in the middle of a comedy show, for Christ's sakes.
No,
bad form. Very bad form.
It's
going for the, but not in a malicious way. Not in a malicious way, Davin. In a way that's kind of funny, you're trying to get a laugh and stuff like that. But you got to pick and choose your battles. But in a funny way, you know, that's fine. Yeah,
your act is not as right wing as you would like to say it is. I followed.
That girl, holy shit.
Well, yeah, but I've never seen your act and go, God damn it, I need to march.
Yeah. Break some windows.
I've seen it. You know, occasionally Joe will do something, you know, and Joe goes, I'll roll my eyes and go, well, I'll think to myself, well, that's not accurate. But I move on. I got my own shit to talk about. No doubt. I don't care what he's doing.
Nah, that woman, she was whacked out of her mind. She was.
You said that and you teased me. You know, and we sit at the bar. That wasn't accurate. Why wasn't it accurate?
Oh, at the bar, fine. At the bar, fine. But I'm not wasting time on my show to debate where your news sources. I'm not going to ask you to footnote. I got shit to sell. I got merchandise bits I need to set up so I can sell merchandise. I don't got time for your dog and pony show. I got my own shit to do.
But what I'm saying is, even if you said, you know, even if I made a comment about something and you even took 2 seconds, yeah, and Joe will probably be out there with the flag and stuff like that. That's funny.
Fine.
I mean it in that way, Davin, not where you're stopping
okay.
giving a whole dissertation on what I said. Just a quick, that's funny. That's hysterical. you know, over a drink, we'll laugh and we'll talk policy and stuff like that.
Well, see, the thing is,
that's hanging out. You
the
know?
Thing is, I don't even have to say that because
being civilized.
Because Joe has my voice in his head. He knows what he did wrong. I don't even have to voice it.
You know what you said.
The same thing with you.
Yeah, you can have the conversation in your own head. You don't have to vocalize it.
Honestly.
Well, I think you handled that very well, actually.
Yeah, I think you did.
I don't know. I would not call this person a comedian.
No, absolutely not. There's nothing artistic about being angry like that and calling yourself a comic.
How I felt. The guy that ran the thing asked me to take it down. Respectfully, I did. And she reached out to me, and I gave her a couple of days before I responded back. Because, look, I'm nobody, okay? Thank you, Davin. I'm sure you'll get I'm nobody. But what I am is one of the senior comics. I'm an old comic. You know, a more established comic on the island.
Silverback comic.
So with, believe it or not, a very good reputation of being a nice guy. Shut up, you. But
they don't know you. I always tell you that. They don't know you.
But so the word might have got around to her where you interrupted Joe Curry and you lashed into it and he put this. I go, you must have fucked up royally for him to do that, you know?
It's all right.
But
well,
it all worked out in the end. You know, it all worked out in the end. You know, and I'll probably go, you know, it's on a Wednesday. We have it on a Wednesday. Maybe I'll go back next Wednesday and go up and work on stuff. It's on the way home. You know, it's convenient because the other workshops are like west of where I am at the day program. This is actually on the way home. It's nice. I have a couple of cocktails. So we'll
it's admirable to do that.
No.
You got a lot of respect for me going back there, Joe. You really
no,
do.
No, I'm talking about in general. He's got to stop with the mics. He works enough. He does work.
Yeah, you're like, remember Haymon? From what was it? Living Color? No, in Living Color.
Esther and Haymon.
In Living Color, the Jamaican guys, they had 20 jobs. That's Joe. Haymon.
Yes, but, yeah. but apparently it's too many for a script.
Very good, because you work on a lot of material. Dude. And to tell you the truth, well, you know, it's weird where I'm an established comic on the island. I'm also one of the up-and-coming ones, too. You know what? It's also a lifestyle. Like, there's one called Alibi over in Farmingdale. It's on a Wednesday night. You go back there. You know what it is? You're hanging out with like-minded people. You're going up. You're working on five. You have a couple of drinks. You bullshit. You talk. It's a lifestyle. So
yeah, maybe. Maybe if I lived at home. If I lived by myself, maybe get the fuck out of the house.
Nice.
I don't even live at home. I live in two homes. But
oh my God.
But yeah, no. But I'm not. You know, my mics are when I hit the fucking stage and I'm on the clock. I'm working shit out. I'm working on my TV stuff.
It's fun, man.
There, I'm not fucking going to mics because I don't need to deal. I don't need to deal with nitwits. You know, I don't need to deal with a room full of nitwits. I used to deal with a room full of nitwits because I was a nitwit. I am, and as far as comedy's concerned, I am no longer a nitwit. People come to me for advice. I would tell them go to mics because they need to go to mics. Joe doesn't need to go to a mic. All right, let me go to my you stink here.
Nice.
Unfortunately, it printed out in blue and black, so it's hard to read.
I would love to do a mic, actually. You guys are inspiring me.
You should do a mic.
I just don't think I'm that funny.
I don't think you're that funny either.
I'm sarcastic.
Either,
I could break balls.
But Pip, it didn't stop Pip.
Actually, Pip is funny, though. I'm just a ball breaker.
You know what? It would be good for you, because at one point you were drunk and heckled me, and you need to understand why that's wrong.
That was 12 years ago.
Never forget.
That was 12 years ago.
It was my...
I got to say something really quick. There was one night, it was Adam Ferrara, Anthony Curie, and myself before we were comics, and there was a comedy night at the local bar, and the guys went up, and a couple of them established guys, but there was one guy, you know, we were heckling and stuff like that. I wound up working with him about, I guess, 7 years later, and I told him the story that night, and I go, I apologize. I'm so sorry.
Good man. Good man.
I heckled David in a loving manner.
He was drunk out of his fucking mind and obnoxious.
Yes, I was, and it was hysterical. I wanted him to do the Jews routine. The Beetlejuice, Apple Jews.
It was hysterical because I ripped his drunk ass apart.
Yes, he did.
But he was annoying.
12 years ago. Really? Actually, more than that.
I don't know how many years.
I think Sky had to be like, God, 8, 9 maybe?
It wasn't when you were with Phyllis. You were a perfect gentleman.
No. I was there.
He holds a grudge. There was one night we were working in Michigan, and the MC goes, can I give you the credits? And I'm sitting there going, yeah, tell people he's a hack. So I go up, I get done my set. The MC goes up, he goes, he's from New York, he's a hack. And he's like, what is that? You told him this? I go, I didn't know he was going to say it. So he waited about 6, 7 years, and we're working in...
It's a long time to hold a grudge.
And he has the DJ bring me up to It's Raining Men. So... And I guess
that's fantastic.
So it takes time.
No, he was like all pissed off at me. He's like, oh, why'd you do that? I go, remember Michigan?
It's raining. Well,
if I was going to come up like that, it was going to be to I'm Every Woman, not to It's Raining Men. All right, so wow. It was choice of song I was upset about.
All right, so this is a couple weeks ago, we had another snowstorm followed by ice storm, which means, once again, I had to shovel two properties because the wife is already on the DL. I mean, she helps me when she's not injured.
But she's not injured, yeah. With a broken ankle, you're not shoveling anything.
No. So you guys haven't been to the new house yet, but it has a very, very long driveway. So we actually got someone to plow that driveway. So I started doing more packing when I get a call that my flooring came in to the flooring store. Now, Joe will appreciate this. I decide to pick up the flooring myself because it'll save me $300. Because yep. if I have it delivered.
And that's how a homeowner thinks.
Exactly.
Yep.
So now there are 29 boxes, about 75 pounds each, plus various other supplies that I have to. Now, originally when I told them we would have it delivered, my wife hadn't had a broken ankle. And again, she would actually help with that stuff. When she's healthy, she's a go-getter.
Yeah,
this
is a machine, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went to the new house where the SUV is being kept.
You got an SUV and a house? You capitalist pig. Look at Davin go.
I've always been a capitalist.
You got to change your party registration.
No, not at all.
Come on.
I'm not the one who's pro-Putin.
You want the red hat or the white hat?
What?
I'll buy it for you.
What does that even mean?
Make America great. You want the red hat or the white hat?
Oh, good God.
Come on. It's on me. I got you.
Yeah, no, that's all right. I'll go to China where they're made and get and pick it out
it's
myself.
It's not China. It's China. Say it right.
I'll go to China where they're
it's
made.
It's China.
Yeah, exactly.
China.
I'm sorry. I miss it.
So I don't. It's calm. It's comfortable. We're all having warm milk.
Yeah, genocide. Civilians getting mortared in the streets.
That's not really him.
$5 a gallon for regular gas.
Yeah, there's a Russian madman doing that shit.
Okay.
What do you want him to do? He's a Russian madman. All right. So anyway, where the garage is. So the refrigerator.
Where's Fauci?
What? We don't need him anymore.
I know. I haven't put him on a milk carton, man. Where is this guy?
He worked hard for 2 years. Now he's
I'm serious. He used to scare the shit out of us. Now we have a real nut.
All right. Yep. So anyway. So the refrigerator that our contractor said his friend wanted was sitting in the front of my garage where the SUV is. It's a two-car garage.
Two-car? You capitalist bastard.
You can actually fit three cars in there, but it's a two-car
Wow, you Republican in disguise.
Okay, Russ, I guess you have your own little narrative going on in your head. So now
I'm loving this.
So now I have to call the contractor, and he says his friend says it was too big, the refrigerator. And he's procrastinating for weeks to take this thing. I go, well, it has to be moved. So 45 minutes later, he comes. We load it into his truck. Now it might cost me $40 to get rid of it at the dump. Whereas before, I could have given it away for free or actually made some money. Now it might actually cost me money to get rid of this thing. So,
check you out, Herbert Hoover.
Okay. you're just dating yourself.
Yeah, that's sad.
So after the delay, I drive to the flooring store, which is like 30 minutes away. I can't take the whole order at once because it's too much weight for the SUV. So I take more than half and I drive to the new house. And of course, it's heavy, and there's a lot of stairs, a lot of steep stairs to get into the house.
Okay,
so I'm like loading them on my shoulder. It's a great way to do like squats and lunges and everything.
No doubt,
I haven't worked out since I had COVID because I'm doing all this lifting now. So, I get done and head on over to the. And head over to the flooring store to get the rest of it. So once I have all the flooring, the installers will contact us. And set up a date to install it. I need to be in possession of everything, in order to get this thing moving. So,
all right, at least everything's under your control. At least with the material, it's there, you know, and all you need is the guys to show.
Right. That's why I'm going to go back later on that day to get the rest of it, so I could have everything in my possession, so we could get the date going. That is the plan. So,
so conservative. I love it.
What are you talking about, conservative? I don't even know what that means. To want to get my flooring installed? I didn't know that was a liberal.
And if you're going to be a Republican now, you can't say SUV. It's a truck.
It's a RAV4. It's a RAV4.
Oh, no, you got to get something bigger.
It's fine. Thank
you. Three-car garage, and long driveway.
And it's a hybrid, Russ.
You're paying to have your driveway
plowed.
It's
a hybrid.
You're a Republican.
Okay.
You're getting a gas-guzzling.
No, it's not.
5.7 liter.
It's not a gas-guzzling.
We got to get at least a 5 liter.
It's not a gas-guzzling car. It's a hybrid.
I know. We got to get you into a Hemi now.
Oh, okay. Yes. Are you done? Can I get through this?
Got to get a Tahoe.
We're going to get you a Rush Limbaugh t-shirt.
Yeah, God, he's dead, thank God. Oh, did I say that out loud? Oh, we didn't have that wise voice in chattering in our ears. So we have Joe, you'll appreciate this. I'm doing one of the shows, and somebody looks at me kind of perplexed. They go, look, you're staring at me with your eyes crossed like you're Tucker Carlson.
Oh, it's funny.
She called Davin Winthrop.
Winthrop?
Yes. Trading Places.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. You don't let him on the air for 2 years, and you can't fucking get a word in edgewise.
I'm sorry. I know it's been a while. You guys got to get me. I got to get mic time.
Yeah, apparently.
I
got
to go to one of those clinics with Joe.
Joe, would you please take him? Please.
Sure. Have a couple of drinks, a couple of laughs.
Oh, my goodness.
So, all right. So, I told Russ this before the show. So, we got to get into this house, Joe, because... Because last month, with nobody living in the house, that house cost me $350 to heat. So I got to get in that damn house. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure it's going to cost more now with energy going through the roof. But it is what it is. So I go back to the flooring place to load up the stuff. And he tells me they no longer have everything I need to complete the order.
Makes sense.
Why didn't he tell you that? Was this the second trip or the first trip?
This was the second trip.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't he tell you that when you pulled up?
Well, the first trip, they had everything. By the second trip, there was somebody else who ordered this flooring, and there was a shortage at the warehouse, so now I'm short 3 boxes.
Unbelievable.
So why don't you call me when you realize I'm short 3 boxes and tell me you don't have to come back today?
Because contractors don't do that.
No, this isn't contractors. This is LL Flooring.
The flooring. All right. It's a flooring company.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So call me so I don't make a trip. Now I waste. Now I make another trip there where I didn't have to do that. So I get the rest of the stuff. So that means we can't start the order.
Wow.
So, and he getting snippy with me. I'm not going to fucking take that. So I go back there the next day. They had to get it from Queens. I got it. So then, fine. The order's supposed to be put in on Monday. On Monday, and then they should call us within 24 to 48 hours. Hmm. I tell my wife. We don't hear from them. It's Wednesday now. I tell my wife, do me a favor. Give them a call. Why should we give them a call? Because we haven't heard from them. Something's up.
Yeah.
They didn't have it in. Because the person on Friday didn't put it in because I didn't have everything. And the other guy on Saturday didn't have it. So
unbelievable.
Fortunately, the installers actually did right by us, and they moved something, and they're actually going to come tomorrow. But I was just fucking furious.
Do you have a timeline?
Yeah, ASAP.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, now once I get the flooring in, and then I'm going to get the appliances in, then I'm probably going to hire some movers to pack this shit up.
He's hiring movers, Joe.
Yeah. Why wouldn't I hire a mover? You
know, say it out. Are you ready? Make America great again.
When I moved, I got a pod, and I'm loading like late in the night, and I go, how do people do this? And I go, oh, they hire people.
Yes.
You know, when I moved, it didn't even register for me to hire a mover. I called the guy, I got a month, I get a pod, and I'll load it in there, you know? But it's funny, when I was unloading it, there was something that was precariously, you know, and I go, if I move this, it's going to fall, and I got to get out of the way. So my girlfriend goes, is there anything I could do? I go, yeah, call everybody that ever told me to go fuck myself. They're going to want to see this.
Why was I not called? Why was I not called?
Fantastic.
Oh, and then to make this day worse, then to finish up, to make this you stink worse, so my hockey team, the New Jersey Devils, is giving away free tickets.
You said that out loud, by the way.
Yeah, I know. They suck.
I'm sorry.
Whatever.
Yeah.
They suck. That's right. They suck for a decade. It's fine. I still want to go see free tickets. I haven't been there in a few years. So I go on the site to get the free tickets, and it has my information.
You still got
to
pay for parking, though.
Nah, park on the street.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Park on the street.
Why the Devils? Anyway.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, so so it says it doesn't have my I'm not entering my proper information, but it's my information. So the website's all, for some reason, it's not letting me get the thing. I lost out on the free fucking tickets. That was a miserable day.
They did you a favor. You're a Jets fan too, so I'm noticing a pattern here. You're making bad choices, David.
You're a Dolphins fan.
I was a Dolphins fan. Marino is in a home right now. Can't tie his shoes.
You're a Rangers fan, and we have more Stanley Cups than you.
That was a long time ago, David.
What?
I haven't watched a football game about 30 years.
So you're a quitter.
I'm not a quitter. I was a Dolphins fan. Marino retired, and when God retires, the world ends, and you move on.
I got another "you stink" for Dell, but I'll save that for another week when I can get some words in edgewise. I'll behave. It's okay. I will review the Journey concert, which I went to.
You just said that out loud, too.
Joe likes Journey.
You guys are killing me.
I like Journey. Yeah, no, it was good. I like
Slayer wasn't playing?
A couple years ago.
No, I don't think Slayer was playing. Slayer wishes they had the hit Journey. Not that I'm a huge Journey fan, but Slayer wishes they had Journey's career.
No,
I mean, honestly.
No, Journey wishes they were as cool as Slayer.
I don't think they're really worried about being cool.
Yeah, well, people say fucking Slayer, not fucking Journey.
Yeah, I don't think
there's
care.
A reason for that, Davin.
There
really is a reason for that.
I think they're happy to collect their royalties.
No. Journey says don't stop believing. Slayer says don't believe in anything. It's got a different flavor to it.
Okay.
It's good for you. You should try it.
Okay. I'm guarantee you Steve Perry pulled down hotter tail than anybody in fucking Slayer back in the day.
I don't know. I'm not into metal chicks, but I don't know.
Metal chicks.
Yeah.
I like chicks with teeth. All right. Anyway. So a friend called me the day of the concert and asked if I wanted to go see Journey with Toto. It was a free ticket.
And you said that out loud, too.
It's a free
ticket. How does that get on the same ticket?
Well, Toto makes sense. Toto
the Journey?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That makes absolutely no sense.
No, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, no, it actually does. They were both big AOR bands back in the 80s.
And
as a matter of fact, I'm surprised Toto was opening up for Journey. I thought they could stand on their own merits, but that's a good show. I actually wanted to. I didn't feel like paying $50 to park at USB, so I said, fuck it.
Okay. That's how I was saying. Parking's a bitch at those concerts.
So this is the first concert I've been to since COVID. Honestly, it's not a concert I would usually pay for, you know. But I'm not a huge Journey fan. But you know, I have their greatest hits on cassette, and I leave them on the radio. I enjoy Journey. I'm not a huge fan like Joe is, but I enjoy Journey. They're fine.
Went on a long journey.
Wow.
To Rome.
Now, you kind of mentioned something that I'm kind of surprised too. I'm surprised Journey is headlining an arena tour. I look at them as co-headliners in these amphitheater tours that we see.
I'm surprised they don't have to piss through a catheter.
You can say they were co-headlining. They'll go out. They took Toto with them this tour. The last tour they went out with Heart. So they'll go out. They're not just going to bring them as some new upcoming band. They're going to also bring another establishment.
Right, and they went out with Def Leppard in 2018. And
that's the show I saw. Now, I saw them with Def Leppard, and a couple of years prior to that, I saw them with Heart. So, they'll go out and they'll do a tour like that. Plus, there was a big Journey. I mean, the Journey cover band that Joe Cumier is in, gets great crowds, So you think the real thing is going to be able to fill a stadium. No, they're doing good, especially coming out of COVID. A lot of people want to go out and see bands.
Well, they didn't sell out.
When Genesis came around, I blew almost $1,000 on merch and tickets to see them twice and buy their shit,
Did AARP get a cut of that money?
Yeah. Probably, yeah. I put the Genesis stickers on my walker. Yeah.
Don't stop believing now. Probably means they're getting Alzheimer's.
So Toto... Toto was scheduled to open some of the shows, and Billy Idol was scheduled to open.
He's still alive?
Billy Idol was scheduled to open the other ones. That doesn't make sense to me. Billy Idol and Journey does not make sense to me.
It's a totally different sound.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Journey
was wholesome. Billy Idol was a little raunch kind of.
He was a nice punk rocker.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was a nice, but he's a little funky for...
Yeah.
Journey.
Yeah. So I think Journey's actually... I don't know how Journey would do following Billy Idol.
No.
I think they were better off following Toto, to be honest with you.
You got Faithfully and Rebel Yell. It just doesn't work. Yeah, that's stripes and plaid.
And if we're going to be talking about Toto, I think Joe gives him a little bit too much credit. There's no way Toto's even on this bill.
I'm glad you said that, by the way.
What's that?
I respect Joe's musical prowess. He's a great musician, and he knows music, but... You know where my tastes come from? You do. I'm not being funny right now. You really do. I'm just an old headbanger. So, yeah.
Oh, don't get me wrong. So am I, man.
Oh, we've had talk about metal. You're very eclectic, though.
Epstein, but I like also sorts of music. But Toto wrote had a lot of hits during the '80s, almost as, not as much as Journey, but a lot there. And what people
don't remind me,
these guys were studio musicians. They wrote a lot of music
they
for
did.
Other people during the
Let 80s. Me tell you something, Mr. Curry. Let me tell you something. There's
Grammy-winning songs they co-wrote.
There's no way Toto is even on this fucking tour if Weezer doesn't cover their if Weezer doesn't cover Africa a few years ago, because that shit was all over the radio.
And it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
No, but you've got a lot of songs. You've got Africa. You've got Rosanna. You've got, I mean.
No. Go on. Because those are the two Toto songs I like. You just named them.
Well, you're talking about what you like. You're not talking about what a lot of people like. You got Hold the Line. Oh. You have Rosanna.
You said that.
Africa. If I wind up humming any of these songs on the ride home, I'm never doing this friggin' show again.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You're bringing up. That was like fifth grade, sixth grade. Well, Joe, I go
with him where he buys a Barry Manilow cassette in fucking Ohio, and I got to rewind it by pencil, and if it's not fast enough for his liking, I get the shit chewed out of him.
By the way, Manilow, excellent in concert. Excellent in concert. He is.
You admit it, really?
Yeah, I got tickets for free. It was great. Excellent in concert. You would like it funny.
You would have to tie me up to a chair with duct tape.
All right, whatever.
You know, he writes the song.
That's the worst part about it. He did that on his own. It wasn't somebody who was out to get him.
So, Joe,
he did that on purpose.
Joe, I went into the Toto concert.
Bullshit over him, man. Loved him.
Oh, Barry Manilow.
I went into the Toto concert liking two songs, Africa and Rosanna. I left liking two songs, Africa and Rosanna. Like, a lot of times I'll see these opening bands and I'll, like, kind of get into them. I mean, listen. As Joe said, they're studio musicians. They're excellent musicians. They're a tight band, but oh my God, was it boring! I mean, I just couldn't. I guess they call it yacht rock. I call it yuck rock.
Well, yacht rock. Here's the difference between Journey and Toto. You've got Steve Lukather who move around. David Patch, who's the keyboard player, who, you know, is behind the rig most of the night, and they're singing most of the stuff. And then you got the other guys that are just, you know, standing there. I mean, you've got, when Journey comes out, you got Ornel Pinnell running around.
Pineda.
You got him, you know, and you got Neil Sean, who's moving around, too. The guys back in the band, I forgot the drummer's, the new
Castronova.
The old drummer's. Yeah, but he's a phenomenal singer. As a matter of fact, they'll sing Mother Father, which is a very difficult song to sing. They'll let him sing, and he does a fantastic job. The bass player and the other drummer, they had a big falling out.
Yes.
They sued them and stuff like that. It was Ross Bowerly on bass, and then you had Steve Smith.
He knows. He knows Journey.
I'm seeing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, a bass player and a drummer not getting along doesn't shock me. I'm a bass player.
Yeah,
so
that
happens.
Something over rights, so they fired those guys. So they have replaced Randy Jackson, who was from American Idol. I think I forgot what show he was.
American Idol.
He's on bass, and they got the drummer who's really good playing. And then they have a backup keyboard player. I'm surprised Jonathan Cain needs a backup keyboard player because he usually can handle everything. So I guess they have him. And it's a good show. It really is a good show.
Well, anyway. So, like Joe said, they
I'll take your word for it. If you ever want to see Slayer, though, let me know. I think they're coming around again.
They recently shed memories.
I took Susan. She loved it.
Well, but she loves you, so she's going to put up with nonsense.
No, she was hanging.
Okay.
Yes, she had a Cosmo.
That's wrong.
At a Slayer concert.
That's a little wrong right
and
there.
And we're still married.
That's wrong.
Funny.
So, Ornel Pineda is the replacement for Steve Perry. He's 54 years old. The guy looks like he's in his 20s.
That's good living.
54 years old?
He's 54.
That's good living.
Get the fuck out of here. He looks like he's 35.
And he moves around great. You know, he looks very young. He moves around great. Now, here's the thing. His voice can't hit all the notes anymore. It can't. You know, people got to understand. Steve Perry was a freak, and he was young. I mean, he wasn't Freddie Mercury, but if you listen to these songs, on almost every song, there's an extended high note in there.
Yeah, he could rip.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in the day, he could rip.
I don't think Steve Perry could do that now.
No.
And Ornel Pineda is 54. And his voice is starting to give out. So they're starting to adjust the sound. And now they're getting like this weird reverb, and it's like it actually hurt my ears.
Yeah, they're using the technology to carry them.
It's not exactly, you know, it's not exactly a reverb, but what those guys will do is turn down a half step. A lot of the guys do it. Genesis had to turn down a half step to do this stuff. The music sounds a little bit different. Bon Jovi, I know for a fact, tunes down a half step.
No, but this was a high-pitched sound.
Oh, he had to.
The sound guys created a high-pitched sound. Really, here's what these bands should do. And Aerosmith does it, and I think they do it the best. Aerosmith puts these female singers on the stage, in the background. They acknowledge that they're there.
Everybody, carry the high note.
Yeah.
Yep, carry the high note.
Admit it. It's okay. Yeah. We still love you.
Yes.
Well, let's not play with the sound. Let's not do what Kiss does and have a soundtrack behind it.
No.
Let's not kill Arnel Pineda's voice, because he can hit it sometimes, but for a two-hour concert, and you could tell he was saving it on some songs and everything. Just own it. It's fine.
You're old and you're still performing, and you're limited, period.
Yeah, it's fine. Everybody there is old and limited. We get it.
Yep.
So I really wish they would do it, because Pineda's still moving around everything, and he's trying everything, but his voice gives out.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I had an experience. I saw Megadeth.
Megadeth.
Awesome concert, man.
They opened for Scorpions. Right.
Yep. Awesome. Really? Mm-hmm. Really? Wow.
They were very good.
This is Megadeth, Lamb of God. They blew up the PNC Arts Center last year, but it was an awesome show, but my wife, in the middle of the set, goes, "He looks like the Crypt Keeper."
Who, Dave Mustaine?
Oh, yeah.
Dave Mustaine looks like that. And I was like, stop. I was like, that guy's in his 60s. He never should have survived the 90s, first of all. That guy was
a
mess.
He survived all sorts of things. Drugs, cancer.
Yeah,
Ellison playing with those guys, or was he out?
Ellison, he was out. He was out, yes. He was out for that show. Yep, that was after the whole breakup thing.
He got the boot because Mustaine is all religious now. And
correct.
Stuff that Ellison was posting, and it was a big to-do. Yes. When
well, only God was going to clean that man up. Unfortunately for him, it worked, because he never should have made it past 98.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should have been well dead before 1998.
Oh, yeah.
So, and you could tell, you know, he didn't move. He was stationary in front of the mic, weighed all of 130 pounds, and my 14-year-old son could have thrown this guy. But you could tell. I mean, just some of his classic songs that were so powerful.
Yeah.
Okay, we're watching a 60-year-old man. You know, front man for a thrash metal band. You gotta lower your standards. You gotta go in with an open mind.
Now, I've never seen Metallica. I really want to see him, but I think Hetfield could still stand there and belt them out.
Well, last time I saw Metallica was the Big Four. Mm-hmm. And I've said this before, not only on the albums that they continue to destroy, because Lars is a friggin' madman and so is their producer, but the worst thing that ever happened to James Hetfield was there was a voice in his head who thought he can sing. On the first four Metallica albums, he's a growler. Not a screamer, but a growler.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the guy can order pancakes and sound scary.
Yeah.
You know, and then he started actually trying to sing. And it didn't really, it just didn't work for him. And if you hear the older music from Justice for All and before, it sounds terrible. It really does. On the newer stuff, not too bad. No. They wrote it for an older Hetfield. You know, he's on alto. You know, he doesn't sing high, you know. So he sounded okay at Big Four, but again, we're going back a decade.
Right.
And that was the last time I saw him, 11 years now, actually. That was the last time I saw him live. The older stuff, the classic stuff, shot it to hell.
Yeah.
Master of Puppets sounded like just elevator music. He was singing Master of Puppets. Master of Puppets isn't sung. You're pissed off and you're lashing out at everything you hate about the world. That's Master of Puppets.
Yeah.
You don't sing Master of Puppets. You get pissed off and you just belt it out. He sang Master of Puppets, and if I was close enough, I would have punched him in the balls because it was just painful. It was absolutely painful.
My old boss was funny because he, Metallica fan too. And I go, "Dude, how is Metallica?" I walked out. I go, "You walk?" I had to. I walked out. I'm like, "Really?" I
wow.
That's something. He was so pissed off at Metallica, he just fucking walked out.
All right, Joe. Well, I got good news for you, Joe. Journey is coming out with a new album. And
get out.
I heard a track. It wasn't that good.
Well, they played a track. Well, they played a track. They played it live. It wasn't a track, and it did sound pretty good. It sounded good live. It was a song about
freedom. How old are these guys?
They're in the 70s.
But what are they saying about hemorrhoids?
No, I was thinking about freedom. I think it had to do with masks or something.
Yeah. Oh.
Now, here's what they did, something that annoyed me here. They did so I think it was, what's the keyboardist's name, Joe?
Jonathan Cain.
Jonathan Cain. So, anyway, the new song, we're never going to hear it, so don't worry about it, because, you know, nobody plays music from these guys anymore. We're never going to hear it.
You'd be surprised.
Never going to hear it. Unless it's in a Toyota commercial. We're never going
to
hear it.
There has to be a 65-year-old somewhere who thinks these guys are still hot.
So, anyway, Jonathan Cain goes on about this little chat. You know how like, these musicians like to break it down for us? They like to break it down. What they were thinking when they wrote the song.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. So, he goes on about the sacrifices on the road they made for Faithfully. And if you listen to Faithfully, you could understand that. It's about being on the road.
Not begging concert chicks.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Fine. If you leave,
that's why the whole Billy Idol thing really confused the shit out of me.
You know what?
Because that guy should have had AIDS 20,000 times
Russ,
over.
Russ, if he would have left it there, if he would have left it there, yeah, I would have been fine.
Yeah,
with
just
it.
Leave it alone.
But then he's like, you know who else is on the road and making sacrifices? The troops. Stop it. Stop it. Stop fucking pandering. This song has nothing to do with the military. As Russ said, it's
a road middle.
What?
So now Jonathan Cain is a road middle.
Yes. Yes. Or a hacky headliner. Stop it. I can't. Listen, no, I love the troops. Everybody here loves the troops.
Of course.
But
of course.
This song has nothing to do with the military.
At all.
It was never written about the military.
No.
As Russ said, it's about not banging road skanks. That's what the song. Don't tell me about it. Don't tell me about that sacrifice and the sacrifice that the military is making. Their actual lives. And the plebeians, the peasants eat it up. And Joe, I was repulsed. Yuck, I couldn't.
Faithfully, like, for comic, you know, you bum because the waitress doesn't like you. Fucking Denny's is closed.
So you go back to the room and masturbate to Pornhub. Faithfully.
There you go. Make sure you don't come home to your wife on antibiotics.
So I could. Yeah, true.
Dude.
So, yeah, so that not infuriated me, but yeah. Now they did, Joe, I don't know if when you saw it they did this, but they played Wheel in the Sky, and Russ, dare I say, they did a heavy version of Wheel in the Sky that I think you would have enjoyed. I didn't know Journey could get heavy.
They go into the final part of the song. They'll go into it, probably the last 14 measures of the tune is really heavy.
It seemed like they did a lot of the song heavy.
Dean Castronova is the drummer who's really good. I just remember.
But no, but the guitars were heavy on it. And like one review compared it to Metallica. I don't know if it's Metallica, but
they're riffing out really.
Oh, really?
For that. Hey, listen,
I didn't know they had it in them.
I get down on bands. I'm a genre guy, but you know, hey, good for them.
I mean, I didn't know they play heavy. I'm like, oh, this is. I wish they did more stuff like this.
Well, let it go. At their age, what do they got to lose?
What, Joe?
Their old drummer, Steve Smith, the drummer that's been there for years but is no longer with them, Steve Smith has pretty much of a jazz background. He can play good. Now, Dean Castronova is a solid rock drummer, so he's probably going to play more in the pocket and heavier than Steve Smith would play, even though Steve Smith was pretty much on all the classic songs. You know, Dean Castronova, you know, is really, you know, plays a rocking or heavier beat, so maybe that's it.
I feel bad. I felt bad for him. Actually, when I got older and started, you know, studying music and playing music, you know, and you're right, to your point, he does have that classic rock foundation.
Yeah.
But you could see if he let loose, he would just overshadow the whole band.
Oh, yeah.
His career, literally, I mean, he played handcuffed for, you know, really. And you can hear that on some of their songs where, you know, if this guy let his hands go, they wouldn't have been able to keep up with him in the 80s.
And the thing about Dean Castronova, like I was saying before, he's got a phenomenal voice. As a matter of fact, I don't know if he did it that night, but Mother Father.
He did. He sang it.
Yeah. He sang it?
He did.
And just like Perry. So it's not like you got, you know, I mean, he's the drummer. And he's singing Mother Father, and it's a tough song to sing because there's a lot of inflection on it, and you're playing the fucking drums too. So, and he does a phenomenal job. So I love Steve Smith because Steve Smith was one of the original drummers. He was on all the classic stuff. But Dean Castronovo is a force to be reckoned with. He's phenomenal, man. He's a complete package, the guy.
So I would say this. I would say it was an enjoyable night. It was a fun night. I'd go again for free. I'm not sure if I'm paying
for free.
Well, there's some things I won't go to for free.
Hey.
But I'm not sure if I'd say... I'm not sure if I pay to see them headline something. I don't really look at them as a, with what's out there now, as a headline act. Like I said, from what I was reading, from,
nostalgia, man, that's all it is.
But I see like Def Leppard blew them away apparently in 2018, and I've never been impressed with Def Leppard in concert as I go to see them for the third time in June.
And here, as I go with you,
yes.
And you know, Joe Elliott loves taking my money, and I always bring it back. I always bring it to him every chance I can get when he comes to town.
Sure.
I saw that too. I saw them with both bands. Both bands did fine on that tour. I don't think anybody blew up. You know, I saw them in Nassau Coliseum. I don't know where you saw them.
No, I didn't see them. I was just reading reviews of the 2018. I saw Def Leppard when we saw them together. With Poison and Cheap Trick, and then I saw them on the Hysteria tour. That was like my first rock concert.
Hysteria tour, my God!
Def Leppard, that
was that eighth grade.
We saw them. I think Joe was having I think Joe was having an off day that day. And during that concert we went to, the unsung heroes of rock was Cheap Trick.
Oh yeah,
Cheap Trick was way better than Def Leppard and way better than Poison.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, they stole the show. All right, so the important thing is after the shirt, I did get myself a ball. After the show, I did get myself a ball sack shirt. I got my.
What is that?
A ball sack shirt? The guys on the street, they whip out a shirt from their ball sack and you buy it.
Oh, a ball sack. Yeah, the street urchins. Those are the shirts that fall off the truck.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. All right. I have a new phrase.
Yeah, the ball sack shirt. I paid $15, and at the time I'm like, I bet I could get this cheaper. And everybody else was selling it for $10. But I'm like, you know what? I didn't pay for parking. I didn't pay for a ticket. I'm okay with the $15.
You walked on the ball sack shirt. Nice.
And gas
in a ball sack shirt.
But here's the thing: it's going to be clothing African children or maybe Ukrainians, because it has both Toto and Billy Idol. And Billy Idol's not on the tour. Watch out.
But you know what's funny? Like you mentioned, like paying for a ticket. Now, if you're not going to like Madison Square Garden where you can take the train in, you know, and the train's $20.
Yeah.
If you've got to park, like I said,
isn't that much these days?
Parking for this concert was $40 in Newark. I parked on the street.
Hold on, but the train, Joe. You said the train's $15, $20. How much is it?
It's coming from Long Island.
Yeah, it's, from Hicksville. Well. From Hicksville, which is 30 miles down or 30 miles down the road from me. From Hicksville, off peak is $19.50.
Holy moly!
Peak, and that's round trip. What I used to do at Nassau Coliseum is I think it was $25 to park, but what I would do is I would go into the neighborhood and park in the neighborhood and walk all the way in and not pay, you know. But parking, like I said, when I went to see Genesis, parking was like $50.
Yeah.
God knows what it's going to be. It was $50 when we went to see Guns N' Roses. God knows what it's going to be when we go out to see. That's going to be at Shea. I think I'm seeing Guns. Ramstein at MetLife.
Nobody's going to be at Shea.
Ramstein.
Nobody's
going to
be at Shea.
MetLife. Yeah.
No, it's not going to be at MetLife. It's at Citi Field. It's your fucking team. You don't know where they play. Stupid.
Yeah, Citi Field. And then I'm seeing Ramstein in September. I think that's at MetLife, which is probably going to be a fortune. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Very good.
Scheduled shows. All shows from 2020.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to. So we're going to see Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett.
Oh.
I'm looking forward to seeing Joan Jett. I've seen the other bands already.
Wow.
I mean, Poison, I think, always does a good job. Def Leppard, you know, Motley Crue, they're kind of disappointing in concert.
Yeah.
So I'm looking. I think Joan Jett is going to be like the Cheap Trick of the show that Joe was talking about. I think Joan Jett's going to rock it and steal the show.
She pull it off. More power to her, man. She was, she was a pre-Lita Ford female rocker. So all the respect in the world to her.
From what I hear, she still has her voice.
Yeah, really, even better. Yeah, she set the bar, and unfortunately, I can say this now. It's the '80s and '90s are over. But I knew even in high school and college, very talented musicians that were just pushed out of the hard rock and metal scene. And, it was just a different time. So, Joan Jett, Lita Ford, you know, girls like that really made a contribution. Vixen.
Yeah.
Vixen. They sucked. They tried.
Edge of a Broken Heart, classic tune.
Yeah, one hit wonder.
That's all right. That's all we need.
The band to watch when they come out, I think they're coming out on tour, is going to be The Circle with Sammy Hagar, John Bonham. John Bonham, no, what's the
That's the concert I want to see, John Bonham. Is he Jason Bonham? Sammy's on tour this summer with George Thorogood. I'm going to go see him.
That's going to be a good show. That's going to be with The Circle, which has Jason Bonham. It has obviously Sammy Hagar,
Michael Anthony.
Michael Anthony, and the guitar player. I think his name is David Johnson, who's phenomenal. I saw these guys about 4 years ago, and they just ripped the place apart. And Sammy Hagar can still sing, and I mean.
Really?
If good evening to good night, he could still fucking nail every tune.
That's interesting.
That's going to be a good concert. I'm probably going to be seeing that one.
I'm waiting for a Mona Mark.
Well, I mean, I'm going to go see it in Jersey. I'm going to get a lawn seat. You want to come?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
All right. It's in June. Like after the show, go on the home
deck. As a matter of fact, we were going to try to go see that when we were going down to Myrtle Beach, right?
Yeah. All right, let's take our first break. We're way overdue. On the break, we got new music from Ryers Blue with As Long As I Got You. And you can learn more about Ryers Blue at fluttertone.com. Also, O'Neill and Fresh Tracks with Half My Heart. And you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. When we come back, Texas is going after the parents of transgender kids. Florida doesn't like the word gay. A teacher gets fired because he's a little pro-Putin-y. Russians trying to get laid before they invade. We'll tell you about scams going on involving the Ukrainian war. All sorts of stuff. Don't go anywhere. Real shit.